It's here and now. Imagine a job where you don't have to submit a resume or even submit to an interview or a screening. That's part of the business model at Grayston Bakery, the food manufacturing facility in Yonkers, New York, that makes those brownies for Ben & Jerry's chocolate fudge brownie ice cream and for Whole Foods. They are a for-profit company founded in 1982 by a Buddhist named Bernie Glassman. They now have 100 employees, most of whom would be unemployable anywhere else. They also operate a nonprofit foundation. More on that in a minute. Mike Brady has been president of Grayston since 2012. He was just elevated to president and CEO. So as part of our series, View from the Top, let's get his view of open hiring at Grayston Bakery. Mike, welcome.
Thank you, Robin. It's a pleasure to be here.
And just tell us how this works. This isn't people walking in off the street and just going immediately to stirring batter. You know, how does it work that you hire people without screening them?
Yes, we love to talk about the open hiring model, and you're right. It's not as if people come off the street and right into work. We actually have a waiting list. It will be great at some point being able to employ everyone that needs a job. But right now, when we have an opening available, people come through. We have a brief orientation program where we inform people what the job will be about, and then a lengthy 10-month apprentice program where we provide people with a set of skills before they are actually become formal members of Grayston and then join our union.
And so if they're not able to make it through the training program, they don't get the job.
That's right.
You don't ask about their past, where they've worked before?
We do not do anything like that. It's you mentioned Bernie Glassman. It's part of our heritage, which was to give everyone a chance. We're not concerned about people's past. We don't want to judge what they've done in the past, but only think about what they can do in the future.
Well, as a result, what are some of the kinds of pasts that your employees have?
Well, it's a mixed bag, as you might imagine, but it's very typically people that have barriers that prevent them from getting work elsewhere. So it might be people with former records, people that have struggled with homelessness, addiction. And now, because of the changing demographics, we're also finding people that have immigrated to the U.S., are able to work, but have no work history, so they're not getting hired for other jobs.
And when you say that people, you know, may have had checkered pasts, you alluded to that, you hire felons.
Yes.
Do you have any concerns about that? Do you have any concerns that somebody might be coming into a plant with, you know, 99 other employees and may cause problems?
You know, we don't think about it that way. We think about it in a way that whoever it is that's going to be coming through those doors deserves the same opportunity as someone else. And to place judgment on that person because they might have been a felon would skew our opportunity to perhaps find a very good employee. So rather than trying to judge and say, oh, this person has done this or that, we have a process that once people are on board, if they can demonstrate they're going to be a good employee and they can join and be effective with the other 99 team members, then we're happy to have them.
You've also put this in financial terms in the past. You've said rather than spend all the money that it takes to do interviews and background checks, put the money into the training.
Right.
What else are you thinking about?
You know, it's a process that we've developed over 30 years in making sure we're giving everyone a chance to be successful. So in addition to what would be typical at other manufacturing facilities where people get trained on hard skills and something like food safety or industry expertise, we also have a training regimen around what we call worker readiness. And it's just helping people to understand the importance of communication, showing up on time, and skills that many people take for granted, but that others, you know, need to be trained on and need to be helped. And we're continuing to try to refine that model to give people the greatest chance of success when they may not have had an opportunity to work before.
But as a CEO, speaking to other CEOs, how would you sell this to somebody who all they care about is the bottom line?
We should all care about the bottom line. This business practice does not have a negative approach on the bottom line. The costs that go into onboarding people through interviews and background checks is replaced by what we're trying to do in a different model. You had mentioned on your lead-in that we're working with Ben & Jerry's, and it's an amazing relationship and one that's we're able to market and sell basically because we have a really engaging social justice program.
In other words, social justice is good for the bottom line? Is that what you're finding?
That's what I'm saying. We need to do these things. So the CEOs listening need to take hold of their business and say, what can I do to make a difference in a world that we know has issues? And using your business to address issues in society, and in our case, it's social justice and poverty, but there's a lot of opportunities for CEOs to look at their business and try to figure out other ways to apply business practices to solve problems.
Well, and I mentioned you were part of a foundation. You are a for-profit bakery, but the profits go to the foundation. What does the foundation do?
So collectively, the foundation and our for-profit bakery have a mission of addressing poverty. So through the foundation, we're trying to identify those other services that will help people become self-sufficient. And right now, we're working around affordable housing, affordable child care. We have workforce development. We have a community gardens project we think is important. We also do different things for homeless. So it's, again, a work in progress as we're trying to identify how can we really move the needle against the issue of generational poverty.
Well, I was going to ask, if you're employing people who are maybe straight out of prison or off the streets, how much are you paying them in order for them to have a sustainable life? Or is that where the social justice mission comes in? Is a lot of what you do, housing, for instance, is that for your own employees?
It's a combination. So we try very hard to pay a living wage through a combination of a regular wage and bonuses and a revenue share, and then complement our wages with other types of services that allow the dollar to go farther in our community. And that's where these other programs come into place.
One of the reasons supporters give for open hiring is that in low-wage workers, there's a lot of turnover anyway. So why waste the time on screening people and instead train them because they may not be staying that long? What are you finding?
You know, I think that's a major issue in business today is how we treat low-wage workers. And unfortunately, there hasn't been a lot of study as to what that means to the lives of these people that we're employing. So when you don't invest in low-wage workers and you don't try to make an effort to build up their skills, unfortunately, they're not any better off if they are to leave to take a different job or go elsewhere or something causes them to lose employment. So I'm a real believer that we need to make a change in our structure towards low-wage workers to give them skills, to try to train them versus what unfortunately may be going on where we dumb down these jobs to a level where people aren't expected to gain and build skills for themselves.
Well, what do you say to businesses who might say, you know, I am not in the business of helping people live their lives. I'm in the business of creating a really good bottom line so that my customers keep coming back and so that I can keep those employees hired.
You know, I would say absolutely, and continue to run your business and be as successful as possible. But much like the awareness that's happened around the environment in the past years where people had successful businesses and, oh, by the way, they might have been polluting our rivers or contaminating the air, let's not do that anymore. And many more business leaders are seeing that that's not a good way to run their business. It's not good for the environment. It's not good for their consumers. It's not good for the community. The same recognition needs to happen now for our employees and the people that we're employing and those that might have barriers where you say, okay, I'm running my business, but can I do other things to also support these types of individuals in our community? And for many business leaders, perhaps they're not ready to take that step, but I'm excited that we can discuss the issues and people can think about it.
What does it feel like to be the CEO of this company?
It's invigorating. You know, I'm very fortunate to have been able to follow in the footsteps of some other great leaders. And now I really believe our country, thankfully, is reaching a tipping point where consumers, the media, and people are interested in learning about Greyston and learning about good products and buying brownies that taste great and support a really important cause.
Okay, a little advertising there, but I'm going to do some more.
Thank you. Full
disclosure, I've been to the bakery, toured it, known the previous CEO and president. I just have one question. Why did you stop making the cakes? The cakes were unbelievable.
You know, we can only do so many things here. So as our business with Ben & Jerry's continued to grow and we moved into Whole Foods with our other lines, the cakes had to take a backseat to all that.
Well, they did take a lot of time. But again, that's your eye on the bottom line.
That's a perfect example of that as well.
Yeah. Mike Brady, President and CEO of Greyston Bakeries in Yonkers, New York, will link you to all sorts of information at hereandnow.org. Mike, thank you.
Thank you, Robin.
Oh, Meghna, the cakes were so good. But the brownies pretty good, too. And a lively conversation has been going on at facebook.com/hereandnowradio. Susan Faye Arnold writes, I'm glad to see there are still trusting and optimistic folks out there willing to take a chance on others. John Elder, though, writes, my heart is encouraged that some companies do this, but my business brain thinks they're at great risk, especially in the food industry. Are they opening themselves up to huge liability? Well, there has not been a suit, but go to their website if you want to learn more and tell us your thoughts at facebook.com/hereandnowradio.